Thank you. And I'm Andy Berry. I'm from Washington State University in Puyallup, which is about 30 miles south of Seattle. So I'm on the wet side of the state. I just want to acknowledge my co-authors here, which would be Craig Cogger, Rita Hummel, and Liz Myrie. We have three soil scientists involved and one horticulturalist, so she keeps us going in the right direction. But today I'm going to speak about landscape plant response to surface-applied incorporated biosolids or compost products in a compacted urban subsoil. So the site description is basically we're putting in some new highways in the Tacoma area, and we got access to one of the roadsides there that the area had been recontoured in developing the road. So basically they've cut over all the topsoil, taken that off, and made it so it works for the edge of the road. It's basically a lower horizon, and so it's a compacted glacial outwash, very sandy, very rocky. The climate is maritime climate. We get about 100 centimeters rainfall a year, but we have very dry summers. July, August, September, we get about an inch of rain each month, so it's really pretty dry. Plot size were 3 to 5 meters, and we did a randomized complete block with 4 replicates. You can see here that the plots were right along here, and then we have this sound wall here, which will become more important as we get further on in and why we terminated the study. So we had a number of different treatments, both incorporated and on the surface. We had yard debris compost, surface applied at 7.5 centimeters, and then the same compost incorporated with a 7.5 centimeter depth application. And then we had a biosolids bark blend, which is actually the Tacoma material, so it was Tagro, and it's actually a blend, not a compost. It's a mixture of sand, biosolids, and sawdust. And then we also had a vermicompost that the Department of Transportation wanted us to look at, and they didn't want to look at it incorporated and on the surface because vermicompost is incredibly expensive, and there's no way that you could justify that for a roadside application. So the reason that's not incorporated is doing the vermicompost allowed us access to this site. Without it, we wouldn't have been able to work on it. And then we had an unamended control that had no compost on it. And you can see here down below, you can see the different composts before they were top dressed with bark. So here's the details on the different composts we have. The C-to-N ratios of the yard trimmings and biosolids blend were 30, 35, and 33. And then the vermicompost was a little bit lower with a C-to-N ratio of 20. We also show here that how much total N and total carbon was applied to the different plots. We planted 3 different species, coralberry, fragrant sumac, and Oregon grape. Within the DOT, they have a couple of different plant pallets. They have a low-growing pallet, which is what this is, and they have a high-growing pallet, which grows much taller but has different species in it. So here this shows how we're planting them. We applied the amendments, which was down here. We then incorporated them with a tractor with a five-foot rototiller on it. And then we top-dressed with bark, which is what this fellow's doing here. He just went and blew on several inches of bark over the top. And then the plants were then laid out into where they needed to go and marked with paint. And they planted them just the way the DOT does, which is they use an auger down into the soil, and take the pot out and drop it in and just push a little material in on the sides, and they're off to the next one without any spreading of roots going on. So here's the different things we measured. We measured both density, soil carbon, plant survival every year, shoot growth index every year, and then in 2010, when we terminated the experiment, we measured the above-ground biomass of the different plants, and then we only measured the root biomass and length of the fragrant sumac. For bulk density, because the soil was compacted sand and rock, We did not have a piece of equipment that you would normally use to sample this. It would have destroyed it. So we used the evacuation method. We would dig a little hole, line it with a little plastic piece of plastic, figure out how much water we used in it, and use that in our calculations to determine bulk density. And the bulk density was always measured at the soil beneath the amendment layer. So here's, I'm going to have a bunch of graphs coming up now, and they're all going to be the same. On the x-axis, we'll have the different materials that we've applied. And wherever we have the cross-hash ones, these are surface applied, where the solid ones are either incorporated or, in the case where it's black, there's the control. But this basically shows on this graph on the right, total carbon and the amount of carbon that you found in the soil. And to no surprise, where you just laid it on the surface, we didn't have any incorporation of that down into the lower depths, but where we rototilled it, we got pretty good transfer of the material into the soil. And then if you look at the bulk density, again, this is really hard ground, so you measured below it, and we had something about 2.2 for bulk density, and where we rototilled and incorporated carbon, or incorporated the compost, we had a much lower bulk density of about 1. Here's the plant survival. It's an average over the 3 years of basically the coral berry, the fragrant sumac, and the Oregon grape. And in some cases, for the fragrant sumac, we had better survival than we had for the control. The rest of them, they were about the same. Shoot growth index, which is a comparison of the widest width and the narrowest width of the plant used as a calculator. We had a number of these that were different than the control. They all had a much better growth, shoot growth index than the control itself. Above ground biomass, you can see in all cases, they were all better. They all grew much more vigorously than the control. Sometimes we had the surface looking better, the incorporated ones looking better. Sometimes the ones on the surface, just sort of depending on how things went. Root biomass and root length. We looked at fragrant sumac because this was done in the last year of the study. We originally planned to keep this going as a long-term study, but that wall they had put up, it's a sound wall. There are actually houses on the back side of that. They found that the sound wall was not sufficient, so they came in and replaced the sound wall. So we were given very short notice to have to finish up the study. So that's why we only were able to look at the roots on one of them, because as soon as we got these plots out, large equipment came in, they took this wall out and made it much, much higher. But you can see here that from the root biomass, we had a lot more root biomass than the control plants. And it didn't really make a difference if it was surface or incorporated. Again, with the root length, which was the measurement of the average of the three longest roots. Again, they were all longer than the control, and at all times the roots were still within the plot boundary of the plots we were using. This is an example of what the roots looked like when you pull them up. Basically, the only place you had growth was either within the material you added in the top of the soil, or where you incorporated it in. Roots really didn't go into the compacted glacial outwash. So in summary, the amendments approved plant growth and survival during the 3 years of the study. We had greater growth with N-rich amendments. Basically, the worm compost, because of this low C to N ratio, had a little better growth than the other ones. Plant growth was equal to or better than the surface applied amendments, either compared with the incorporated ones. And they were confined to the amendment zone. And some of the things that we need to think about is, this is a fairly dry site, and although we didn't see any really bad plant survival problems yet, I expect eventually we would have seen that, because here you have the undermended control not growing very, very far. And then we have yard trimmings, we have biosolids, and you just have a lot more vigorous growth here that eventually, with a really dry summer, I suspect that the survival here may be really become a problem. So it really is requiring sort of balance off the different materials, so you're getting something a little better growth than this, but not quite so luxurious of growth there. And with that, I want to open up for questions, but I want to acknowledge that the funding for this is from Seattle Public Utilities, Washington State Department of Transportation, and the Northwest Biosolids Management Association. Have any questions? Okay.